I was giving an illustration earlier. So even if indeed in that family they have a stronghold, go and check it. Most of the time that stronghold is a strong mindset. They all think alike. And you see it in a moment. And it's in the thought processes of a man's life, of a woman's life, that Satan dwells in, or God has the opportunity to dwell in also. Now, listen to this. It is how your inner parts work, how you reason. That is what allows God to move in your life or allows Satan to stay there. It is not somebody, Satan, someone caught somewhere binding people. There was one book we read as medical school, that's in my final year. And they were talking about obesity. Now, please, if you are listening to this and you read plenty science, don't bother analyzing. Just get my point. Are you getting my point? Just get my point. The book was saying that sometimes people say that obesity is genetic. Do you understand? So you get to a house, father is very fat, mother is very fat, and all the children are very fat. So the natural modern mind says it is what? Their genes. Is that not so? The book says something which was also common, which is common sense to me. He said one thing you should realize is that they all have the same eating habit. I don't know whether you get the point. That is not their genes, most importantly. It's their eating habit. You think Americans have more obesity genes than Africans? No, they have prosperity gene, and there's a lot of poverty gene down this side. So now they account for the difference in the weight. I don't know whether you're talking about it. It's not gene. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It's plenty food. It's a matter of fact. If you grew up in Tonga, you know what they call Tonga? I don't know what they are now, but those days, the Tongese or the Tongalese, what are they? Are they Tongese or Tongalese? The people of Tonga, they are the fattest people on the earth. They were. Why? They had a habit. Every party in a buffet. And buffet is regular. That is, in it, like you come, you hear that, hey, your neighbor just delivered na buffet. You go to the office, somebody retiring, buffet. You come for Bible study, they say, okay, let's just thank God for today's meeting. It was good, buffet. And this is real, you understand? And you have to eat. If you don't eat, you don't love me. You go to your neighbor's house, you don't eat his food, you are the witch. You know that kind of thing. So people habitually ate plenty. And it reflected outwardly. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. It's so important we understand this because a lot of times in life, when we blame strongholds, when we call strongholds Satan's, most of the times it is not Satan in that sense. There was something I began to say last week. Let me quickly finish that. And that's the fact that Satan, because he doesn't have power directly in your life, what he tries to do is to get a hold in your life. He wants to ruin my life. He tries to get a hold. And what he does is to tempt. And what's temptation? Disagree with God. That's what it is. If God says, don't eat, eat it. You will not surely die. And when I disobey God, that's what we call sin. Remember what I said before? I said that first of all, before Eve could disobey, could sin against God, her mind had to be touched. As long as she believed God totally, there was no way she could disobey those words of not taking of that tree and eating. All right? But when Satan began to suggest to her, and she began to rethink the commandment of God, doubt set into her, and that resulted in disobedience. And disobedience is what we call sin. Are you getting my point? And once sin has entered, Satan now has a door into a life. And that's what the Bible calls the power of death. He said the wages of sin is death. So now talking about him that had the power of death. Satan had the power of death. What does that mean? When somebody sins, Satan is allowed into the fellow's life and then he can do his work. And you now see something that God said in Isaiah chapter 55. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. He now said, as the mountains are, as the heavens are higher than the earth. From verse 8, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not yours. Now, that's what I want to bring up. I want to just confirm that sequence. You find out that the thinking is first before the ways come. Are you getting my point? is how somebody thinks that affects how somebody behaves outwardly. When we say think now, what's important to the person? How does the person, what's the fellow's perspective concerning, you know, what life is about? And that is what a stronghold actually is. And I told you I was going to Derek Prince as I was coming. Derek Prince said something now. I've gotten to the where I wanted to get to. Derek Prince said something as I was listening to that message I was coming. He said that learning truth is easier than discarding the old ways. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, to learn new truth is not the problem. That people often find it hard to let go of the old thoughts they had in their minds. Let me say that again. Derek Prince said that to teach people new truths is not where the problem is, that they can learn it. But having learned the new thing, to now take the old one and throw it away is the most difficult thing for Christians to do. And that's actually what Paul calls strongholds. Stronghold is not Satan. Even though Satan will thrive in the stronghold. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Because if you have thoughts that are not God's thoughts, then you will have ways that are not his ways. And those ways will be the ways of disobedience. And that is where Satan will crawl in through. However, what the Bible calls a stronghold is in the mind. It's a thought pattern that we won't just let go. I remember a brother I knew once. He had two strongholds in his mind. Two. There was no talk we did not talk, but he wouldn't change his mind. You see him, he had one. The first one was that he believed that the best opportunities in life were in Lagos. And one would try to explain that each person had a divinely appointed geographical area. He said, no, the Bible says you possess anywhere your feet go. You know what I'm talking about. And okay, why don't you just go and possess somewhere else if this place is not getting easily possessible? No, because if it's everywhere, are you getting my point? Why are you localizing it to this place? There was no talk, we didn't talk. That is, his own. And the thing is that Lagos was not being favorable to him. Favorable was not being nice to him at all. That was one. Number two, bro, you have age where man should take wife. There was something he used to say all the time. Every time he talked about it, he said, listen, no, this is what he believes. Now, why I remember this, my friend, is that no matter how you spoke, take scriptures and begin to teach. Those days, I pray he has repented now. I've not seen him in a long time. I just trust God that he's changed. Take scriptures, teach. If you get to those two things, that's where he will land. And listen to me. If God cannot persuade you, he can't bless you. You hear what I said? That is why anytime I hear anybody say something that is against the word of God, you know, principles, I charge. The way I respond, I'm just afraid for you. You tell me something like, I can't marry people from this area. Or, I must marry people from this area. That is, I'm just upset. And you're talking normal human geographical area. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you say, I can't marry people who are from this spiritual, I don't believe God exists. Are you getting my point? I can understand. Anybody who doesn't believe the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that's very spiritual, amen? But like, no. You know me. If anybody comes from across the river, lie. You know Nigeria, this river, Nigeria is very, it's a very serious river. Those on that side are looking at those on this side. No, I'll tell you this, will make you laugh. One day in my office, one man in my office, we're describing one lady that went for a course. She's a specialist in that area. She comes from abroad. So, he was saying that, isn't that Yoruba woman? Now, listen. I said, no, now. She's not Yoruba now. So, after talking, he said, she's from Edo State. The guy said, all of now, the same thing now. Now, if you go to Yoruba land, those ones, once from Edo State down to Port Harcourt, as far as they are concerned, all of them are the same thing now. That they had a good laugh. That is, somebody sits here and says that once they all cross the side, you know, everybody from that area, they are the same. And you know, people use this funny mentality. I used to decide who's good husband, who's a good wife. Now, listen, let me quickly explain something here. I am not saying, look, listen, there's what Chris Okotie, when I went to Chris Okotie's church, you know, he was talking about some apocalypses of Gangantuan. I was trying to describe the panoply with which you handle the conglomeration, you know. Actually, that day, the subterfuge with which he was releasing the trepidating. The Lord is good. Those who have heard Chris Okotie before, they know what I'm talking about. Anyway, but you know, in the midst of all this big English, the man has a way of taking some scriptural words and breaking them down, and you get something. So that day I got something. It was one of my, one guy, when I was a resident, he was house officer, he was getting married, so I went for the wedding in the church. So I was talking about iniquity. The blood of Jesus washes us away from all iniquity. So now took the word iniquity and began to explain it. And he said the word iniquity talks about the, let me say, I'm about to drop one big English now. I'll drop it then, I'll explain, please. All right? It talks about the proclivities of a group of people. Are you getting my point? All right? That's the only English word. No, that's not Chris Okotie. That's just the only English word I know to use for that. That is, let me use the word, the bad tendency. Yeah, that's a good word. All right? The bad tendencies of people. That's the word, tendencies. He said, for example, this was the example he gave that day. He said, for example, that's what iniquity refers to. For example, now they will tell you that an Ijebu man is very stingy. You've heard that thing before. Yeah. All over the country, even from the west down to the north, the Ijebu man is supposed to be a stingy man. But actually, Ijebu-ness, just to educate you, goes beyond being stingy. Is that the people are very, I don't want to use the word prudent, but very shrewd. That's a good word. Shrewd. Give me another one. That is, they said that your landlord, all right, that maybe you are living in a house, massive house like this. Maybe you rent it through an agent, and then you bought a big car, you understand, and parked it. You won't know. Your landlord will come and greet you and say, ah, this your car is fine. Oh. May God bless us to this level. Meanwhile, he's your landlord. That big house you are paying rent on, he's the owner. And that, but he will come looking very, very ordinary and all of that. Anyway, that just by the way. So the point is that, that was the example he gives. So you say, so you may say things like, that the iniquity of the Jebu man is that he's stingy. Doesn't mean everybody there is stingy. I hope you get the point. All right? But just that is the natural tendency towards doing evil. Now, why I went to all of that is that I accept that this exists. There are places, or everybody has his own natural iniquities, using the words of Pastor Chris now. Do you understand? However, our emphasis, that's where I'm going to, is that as believers, we must go beyond that level. And if you are marrying as a Christian, you're not marrying the Jebu man. Are you getting my point? You are not marrying the Arrow woman. Please, get what I'm trying to say. You are marrying a child of God. And that is why, for you as a believer, that must be the serious matter. It's not where you came from. It's what are you doing right now? You know, you understand what I'm saying? With your life, with the word of God. No matter where you're from, if the word of God is the center of your life, you will become anything that God wants you to be. That's what I say all the time. We're not looking for nice guys. We're not looking for nice babes. We're looking for people who love the word of God. If you don't love the word of God, no matter how nice you are, you're a potential receptacle of evil spirits. Yes, it's true. Because you don't know what a man, a woman can become when Satan enters, when he finds a way into the person's heart. What are you? Once the Holy Spirit is not inside you, Satan, if he faces your case, if he can do Eve what he did to Eve, who are you? When he comes one day with temptation and explanation and, you know, and opportunities, you walk into sin. And it's not that thing you did though, that he's looking for. He's looking for doors to bring in seven spirits more wicked than himself. That is why we don't want nice guys. Who wants to marry a nice guy? Say amen. Good, thank you. I'm happy there's nobody here. Who wants to marry a nice babe? Say amen. Good, thank you. Thank you. I'm happy there's nobody like that here. A woman who fears the Lord. Are you getting my point? She shall be praised. She may not be nice. Her hair may not be good. Once she fears the Lord. Are you getting my point? Yes.
Just they talk rashly, just fear the Lord. You know, are you getting my point? You just don't even know how to talk. You open your mouth, just talk anyhow. Just fear the Lord. Are you getting my point? When you have finished your bad behavior, we'll take the fear of God and make it into something that nobody will be able to recognize that is you. That's what we're talking about. Now, back to where I went into all of this, all right? So I recognize that people differ, all right? But what we are emphasizing is the fact that we're not talking about the natural man. We are talking about spiritual people. We are talking about children of God. Remember I said something last time? You are not allowed to disagree with God. If he says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. You can never say he's not. If you say he's not, you have opened the door to the devil in your life. I've not forgotten my message, stronghold. What's a stronghold? It's a strongly held thought. Believe. You understand? Conceived ideas in the mind. Ideas in the mind that disagree with the revealed word of God. That's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. That's what a stronghold is. I'm going to... Look, listen, there are different areas. Because of time, we can't go into all of the areas. But this is the point I'm trying to emphasize. Satan dwells everywhere there's a stronghold. No matter... Listen to this. Listen to what I want to say. No matter how nice the strongholds are. You know, some strongholds are nice. I don't know what I get by what nice. He's not an evil person. He just says nicely, no, I can never take that from a woman. Any man, woman tells me that kind of thing, forget it, I'm divorcing her immediately. This guy doesn't hurt a fly. He's a nice guy, he doesn't womanize, does not drink, does not smoke, neither cigarette nor wee wee. Just a nice guy. But inside his mind, what does he have? A stronghold. You talk from now till tomorrow. For this cause shall the man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh, and whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And he's just giving you examples. What if, not to last time, once they begin with what if, they are courting the devil. Satan, please, I've prepared the table before you in the presence of my family. Come and eat with us. When he's asking, what if, using explanations. Your what if is to explain away the word of God. He said, but Pastor Mark, what? Listen, don't watch me. What is your answer? Be it unto me according to your word. You can never use crazy people to try and explain that the word of God does not work. I don't know whether I get my point. When you want to take this marriage and divorce as an example, did not start any examples of people who are on drugs, who are demon possessed. I said, what do you want the woman to do? What I'm going to say is that don't use no. We are trying to obey the word of God. They are not trying to give us extremes. It's only Satan that does that. I'm bringing an issue here. No matter, some people, their strongholds, they are nice people. They just have a very nice stronghold. That's some very, very funny stronghold. If a girl is from a divorced home, I'm sorry, I can never marry her. Why? They start giving you statistics. It has been found out that 50%, and actually statistics, you know, please, to the word and to the testimony. You know, there are things you say. Do you follow? You are telling God, don't bless me, don't bless my children. Yes, because I said something last time, Satan dwells where we are disagreeing with God. Listen, sometimes some of these things you're not even participating in them. For example, let me give you a very simple example. You are heterosexual, you are married to one wife, like Barack Obama. Is Barack Obama homosexual? But then he gets up and says, why shouldn't a homosexual man marry a homosexual man? Every judgment God wants to give to those who are campaigning for that, he will give Obama his fair share. You know, because God says it's not only those who do them, but those who take pleasure in those that is how you reason. You can't, look, listen, there are things, let me just give you more practical. There are things you cannot, for example, now I'm already married. Amen? Say amen now, don't you know? Ah, you are not aware. This ring is not just decoration, no. It's real. Now, even though I'm married, are you getting my point? If I make certain statements, like the type I tell you, don't say, I got married from this area. You see, I'm married. I'm not planning to marry another wife. Are you getting my point?
But you see, I am opening the door for an evil spirit into my home. My children, they are in trouble. Interestingly, those who I minister to and who come to me for counsel, they have to be careful. Because that evil spirit that I have collected, even though directly I can't use it, I can't use it, it can't do anything for me, but it starts speaking through my mouth. It starts injecting the wrong spirit into other people. That's what the Bible calls stronghold. What is a stronghold? Any strongly held thought pattern that disagrees with the word of God. Sometimes it doesn't even concern you. That's why I gave this marriage thing as an example. I'm already married, but I make certain statements. It disagrees with God. It's a stronghold. There are manifestations of God that will never come into my life. I think like that. More importantly, for this what we are discussing, is that that's what Satan is looking for. Because you must understand, in your life, you're a gatekeeper for certain people. You are a gatekeeper into certain areas. Adam was guard it and keep it. That was his assignment. He was a gatekeeper into that garden. You are a parent, you are a gatekeeper for the lives of your children. That's why I tell you, listen, something may be far away from you, all right? It's happening in Myanmar. It's happening in America. How you respond to it here, it matters because these are spiritual principles. It matters. Don't ever forget that thing. It's not just about your life. You're a gatekeeper. You're a gatekeeper. What comes into the lives of your children, it has to pass through you. If you will refuse and totally refuse to allow it to come in, it can't. There are two ways people allow Satan into the lives of their home, into their homes and into their children and all of that. One, there's by default, that is like you're reckless. You didn't take charge of what you're supposed to take charge of. There's sometimes you actually are actively pumping it in. Both of them about the same thing. What that means is that you don't instruct your children in the way of the Lord. The gate is open for Satan. It's not just like it's only when you call Satan that he comes in. If you don't block the door, you have to teach your children justice, fairness, forgiveness, generosity, positive speech, love. You have to teach them everything. You have to teach them self-control, everything. Instructing them every time they do something. Teach them justice. You know, he said, I have chosen him that will instruct his family after him in the way of the Lord so as to learn to do justice and righteousness so that God can bring to pass what that which he promised Abraham. We read that a number of times in Genesis chapter 18. A number of times we read it. So you are a gatekeeper. So what I'm going to bring out today is that when we're talking about strongholds, stronghold is not somebody, Satan somewhere is casting spell. That's not a stronghold. Go and check a lot of those families who say they are in bondage to something. Talk to them. Some of those people that say nobody in this family breaks through, go and check it, they worship money. To them, money is everything. And the Bible is a commandment. Anybody that loves money will not have enough. So that is the problem. You know, that's why it appears sometimes as if Christians are coming under the influence of those curses. It's not because they are cursed. It's because, you see, God said something to the people of Israel. He said, you are going to this land. Around that, Leviticus chapter 18. You go in there, you will find these people. This is how they are. This is how they are. This is how they are. You find them. Barack Obama is their president. Just by the way, just for you to know what they call Antichrist, and you will not be able to buy and sell. Are you getting my point? Do you know World Bank has, is IMF, they withheld back loan from Uganda because of their anti-gay bill. One day they will, listen, if the Antichrist has his way, you will see anybody, no, not even, they're already doing it. In America now, the problem they're having is California, I think California, one of the states just passed a law, all right? They tried to make a law so that it would protect Christians from refusing to participate in what they don't believe in. Because it is right now, if they are doing a homosexual marriage and you're a cook, you're a caterer, if you refuse, they can sue you that you are discriminating. You can imagine you're a church woman, Christian, and you are the one serving as Adam is marrying Steve, you know, that kind of thing. You know, you go, oh, one kind. You know, that kind of thing. That's just by the way. That's by the way. But anyway, the governor vetoed the bill. Because all the powerful companies, the state legislature passed the law. Signed to law now, the governor vetoed the bill.
Why? Because the powerful companies, you know, threat. We will draw our companies, we will close our factories, and all those kind of things. Yes. Listen, I don't want to go into it. In all this one that they say that they will plant chip in your hand if you don't carry chip and your hair is a lie. Do you understand my point? Don't believe all this nonsense. Say Motorola and Microsoft designed a chip that they plant in your hand and your forehead. Don't take it, don't take it. It's crap. Technology is not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a spirit. And it's already in effect. The other day, I don't know, you know, you've heard of Dog Dynasty. There was an issue about Dog Dynasty. A man says that, look, guys, what are you doing? That's better to, you know, to marry a woman than a man. Why are you doing this? Just that simple comment. They kicked the guy off his show. They kicked the guy off his show. They did. But good enough, the other guys rose up and said, is that so? So America, no freedom of expression again. They said, all right, fine, this is what we're going to do to you guys. In fact, one shop, because they started pressuring other shops to remove the guy's, you know what they call, is it memorabilia, all this, okay, you know, you can go and buy a shirt now, Michael Jordan, you know, stuff like that. So anyone selling anything with that guy's name on it or that shoe, they stopped selling it. They went after the guy economically. So people rallied and said, no problem. That shop that took those merchandise down, everybody said, all right, everybody boycott the shops. 24 hours, they brought it back up. It was a game of money. War. Economic war. So when he says that they will not be able to buy or sell except they take the mark of the beast, that's what he's talking about. When the Antichrist is the power, that is, you disagree with him, you can't do business. Uganda now can't borrow money. That is not a joke. You are, in case you did not know, now you are aware. You are living in literal end times. When I was in secondary school, I believed it by faith that it's end time. Now I know it's end time. I've seen things I did not believe will happen in my lifetime. Hey. Anyway, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, why did I get into all of that? I was going to bring out an issue, all right? That is, you know, that was a digression. I told you, that's just a digression. I just went off tangent there, you know, trying to explain some things, all right? So that God told the people that you are going to that land, all right? There, you will meet people that are doing things that are wrong. He commanded them, level everything, kill everybody, wipe them out, wipe the place clean, and you start afresh. He now said, listen to this. Be careful you don't learn the things that they are doing. Even though you are my people, even though I redeemed you by the blood of the Lamb, even though I took you to the wilderness, even though, like Paul will say later, I passed through the sea, which was a form of baptism, even though you ate manna, and then I brought into that land. If you do what they are doing, which is the reason why I'm kicking them out, listen, no, the land will also vomit you up. I will also kick you out like I kicked them out. I'm sorry, all our relationship will mean nothing when it comes to the time of judgment. That is a problem a lot of Christians have with these so-called devil and ancestral problems. Because you see, salvation, Paul's talking about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation is not just, I'm giving my life to Christ. Oh, yes, I've been saved. Praise God. You know, that's not just what that salvation is about. There's one sermon I'm writing. I'll try and finish it on time. All right? You'll read it shortly. It's titled, How the Truth Sets Free. How does truth set free? It makes demands. I don't know what I said. Yes. When you have new light, it makes a demand concerning your current thinking, you know, your thinking process, and therefore your ways, how you do things. So what happens to a lot of Christians? God has delivered them. Ancestral curse is not your portion. You are not under it. All this problem is not your... But, he says, wait. You are still loving money the way your uncles and your brothers love money. This is scripture. You won't have enough of it. People are going to say, I'm under a curse. You're not under a curse. You're under wrong thinking. You are literally under a stronghold. You're not under a curse. Not that kind of, you know, ancestral curse. You're under the curse of disobedience to the current word of God that has been revealed to you. Do you get my point? There are some attitudes that don't attract some things. It's not curse. I'm talking about to deal with the devil in your life. You ask yourself, this is my attitude towards life. Does it attract good? Or it repels it? And I want to say attitude. I mean stronghold. You see, he said, my ways are not your ways. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. It's the thinking pattern that becomes behavior pattern. We don't just change behavior. That's why people make the mistake. We change what? Thinking. It is a stronghold. That is what the stronghold is. Listen, let's quickly read that. Then I close. I have to close now. All right? We began to read this. Trying to explain that. He said, we are wrestling. He said, for the weapons of our warfare, sorry, I wanted to say, are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That word, fortress, is what King James calls strongholds. Now, what are the fortresses? He said, we are destroying speculations. Verse 5. And every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought. Every what?
Thought.
Every what?
Thought.
We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That is, the strongholds, what are they? They are speculations, lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God, and thoughts. Those are the things that are called strongholds. Strongholds are not evil spirits. Are you getting my point? They are not curses. They are the thinking patterns, the thoughts, the ideas that people have in their hearts. And that is what needs to be broken. Like I said earlier, that is where Satan actually dwells. I can't start giving examples of thoughts now. There are many of them. I gave you an example of somebody who believes that if I'm not in Lagos, I cannot be blessed. It's a stronghold. There's one very funny one I use once in a while. Very common. I must marry a man who can take care of me. It's a stronghold. You know that? Yes, it's a stronghold. So what are you saying? I am saying marry a man who together you can do the will of God. Nobody was sent to come and take care of you. You are not a problem. It's true. It is true. Those are strongholds. You know, I told you, ministry. People counseled me. I can remember two people who were senior to me in this work of the ministry. Explain that you must start a church. Now, please, listen. Nothing wrong with starting a church. You've seen me announce from here that one of our brothers started a church somewhere and I encourage people to go and attend. Many of my friends, co-ministers, they started churches. When I go tell you I'm going out to preach, there are many churches I go to minister. Are you getting my point? Nothing wrong with it. But it's a stronghold I'm talking about. So if you don't start a church, nobody will respect you. People tell you things like that and they believe it. Even if they don't start a church, it's a stronghold in their minds. Their counsel in that area is not worth anything. Strongholds. Talking about ministry. The only way to get money for ministry is to have church services on Sunday so you can collect the tithes and the offerings. When a man tells you like that, no matter the preaching you want to preach, your name is Pastor Banky, you think you have a revelation from somewhere, explain that tithing is in Christianity, is generosity. He can never hear it because he started that church to collect the tithes. I don't know what I get my point. Yes, he started the church to collect the tithes. You now want to tell him that it's not compulsory. What are you? The guy is like, what do you mean? You want to spoil shoes? See, strongholds, he doesn't let you understand. He removes the wisdom of the learned. I was telling the other time that I look at scientists. There are major breakthroughs they can't have because they believe in this neo-Darwinian evolution. That said everything came out of nothing. Nothing exploded and became something. And something that came out of nothing began to rearrange and became even more something, liking something. You get my point? And became complex until all of us now evolving to be human beings. Make a long story short, we came out of nothing. And for that idea, God said, there are many things I would have loved to teach them. They can't understand it. Because they have what? A stronghold. That's what strongholds are. It doesn't let the liberating truth of God can't come into people's hearts. Why? They've just held on to one idea. They lock it. Oh God, and one thing about stronghold is very powerful. That's why it's called a stronghold. That's why I call it a stronghold. Power, you will talk to you, that you won't know what the fellow is thinking. I remember one man of God I went to speak to once about something. My wife knows what I'm talking about. As I was talking to him, I told my wife, no point. He's not listening. He's not hearing. It had to do with, you know, maybe church, money, stuff like that somewhere. I just said, no, this attitude, it was attitude matter. It wasn't practice. And that's attitude. Practices come from attitudes. Your thoughts produce your ways. That's it. So I perceived from his words. And there's a book I told you, another book I'm supposed to release. I've not even written it, just the outline. On marriage, which I called I Need to Know. What do I mean by I Need to Know? What you just need before you marry a man, marry a woman. Eh? Let the fellow, that is, all this is not, what are you doing now? What's in your account? No. Talk, let me hear. Why do I, what about talk? I want to use it to check your attitude towards life. You have a wrong attitude, no matter how rich you are now, you will be poor. You have the right attitude, no matter how you're poor now, you will be rich. You have the right godly attitude, I will be happy being your husband, being your wife. So before you marry a man, marry a woman, you just, you know, use style, whatever you have to do to decode what this person is thinking. See the kind of books the fellow is holding and reading. Talk. You know, that's the thing. I discerned that from this fellow's talk. I said, this guy's attitude is not good. I did something I hardly do. I said, let me talk with him. When I began to talk, you know, you just know when you're not talking, you're talking to yourself. Just bouncing in my face, I began to have frontal headache from my own words. As my words were hitting me in the head like this. Well, not literally like that, but but I knew my words were not good. And I told my wife, there's no point. I hope you heard what I said. Though I've not finished my message, maybe we'll finish it next time. Talking about to deal with the devil in your life. At least I've understood now where the devil hides in our strongholds. What's a stronghold? Every strongly held idea, thought, you know, thinking pattern that disagrees with the revealed word of God. That is where Satan stays. That is what prevents the truth of God that's supposed to liberate us from really pushing us into the liberty that God created us to have. I hope you got to my point. Let's share the grace. Because we are still practicing, let me just read it out. Repeat after me, all right? Let's share the grace in fellowship. Say it, because of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Surely we have passed out of death. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. Say, this is our season of fruitfulness. Say, this is my season of fruitfulness. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus.